All right, let's take our Bibles, and for the last day of the year, we'll turn to the last chapter in the Bible. That'd be Revelation 22. There's a great hymn. We don't sing it all too often. It's called, I Am His and He Is Mine. I will read for you the first and last verses of that hymn. It says, loved with an everlasting love, led by grace divine to know, Spirit breathing from above, Thou hast taught me it is so. Oh, this full and perfect peace, oh, this transport all divine, in a love which cannot cease, I am His and He is mine. And the last verse, His forever, only His, who the Lord and me shall part. Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill the loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline, but while God and I shall be, I am His, and He is mine. So it talks about our relationship with God. We're going to learn something about Him that will characterize our relationship forever when we get to heaven. So if you found your place in Revelation 22, we'll read the first five verses. And He showed me, that's an angel showing John, a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. This is a great time to read about. It's a time that we will experience as believers. When we get to heaven, God will have righted all the wrongs. I'm kind of just saying about that with hearing the bells on Christmas Day. God will right the wrongs, death will be swallowed up in victory. And then when we get there, Jesus will be able to present to us what He's been working on. How long has Jesus been gone now, approximately? About 2,000 years, so we'll get to see what He's been up to. And I'm sure He's told us some things, but I'm sure the half of it hasn't been told, and we'll get to see everything. And of course, the greatest blessing is that Jesus will be there, and we'll be with Him forever. I was reading these verses a few days ago, and I was very, very tired. One of the worst nights I think I've had trying to go to sleep in a long time. But I read these verses, and verse 4 jumped out at me. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. So we're going to talk about that. I entitled the message, The Marvelous Mark of Our Master. The Marvelous Mark of Our Master. And so we have a permanent mark. You know what this is? This is a Sharpie. It's a permanent marker. No, I'm not going to write on my forehead with it for you today. But when we want to leave an impression that lasts, we use a permanent marker. Sophia loves markers. She leaves her impressions around the house all the time. She just got a bunch of markers for Christmas from Lauren's parents, and so she's pretty excited about using them. So we give her a piece of paper, we give her some markers, and she just goes hog wild scribbling as wide as she can on the paper. And then, as has happened many times, she finds Simone's batch of markers, and she leaves us nice little trails on her hardwood floors. Thankfully, they're not the permanent kind of markers. And then she does, of course, love crayons and loves scribbling all over as well. But in heaven, God is going to put His name on your forehead. I think that's kind of interesting. Now, we have a worldly trend of marking bodies today, don't we? There are a lot of people that get themselves tattooed. Now, if you're tattooed, that's okay, but I don't suggest getting any more of them. I don't believe they glorify God personally. But the world is just getting them all over them. You watch football games, sports games, and they're just covered in tattoos. I don't know what they're thinking. Do they think they look good in them? Because when I look at it, I surely don't think so. I always thought it'd be weird when the people with all the tattoos become grandparents. Well, we're there nowadays, aren't we? Unfortunately. But a lot of people get them and then they regret them. They wish they hadn't gotten in the first place. Maybe they put a girlfriend's name that's no longer, or they put something else that they wish they hadn't. Some get them on their necks, their faces, and some, well, even on their forehead. I looked it up. The army will not accept you if you have tattoos on your head, your face, your neck, your wrists, your hands, or anywhere above the collar of the t-shirt. So anything pretty much that's visible will not allow you to serve in the army, at least. And prominent tattoos, you can imagine they would disqualify you from a lot of public-facing jobs, like being a bank teller or having a high position in a company, a board position, newscaster, yeah, sportscasters, acting perhaps, law enforcement, and then, of course, the military. But it wouldn't surprise me. We see tattoos just, they're just ramping up in their popularity. It would not surprise me if that's getting people set for the next mark that is coming. And Revelation 13 tells us about that. Verses 16 and 17, talking about the Antichrist. And he causeth all, both small and rich, great and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And verse 18 tells us the number is the 666. And so that will be a visible mark that will be on people's hands or their foreheads. And it could happen as soon as 2027. We heard about the fact that Jesus could come back anytime. If the rapture happens in the next 6 months, what we just read in Revelation 13 will take place in 2027. So the devil and the Antichrist, they want their mark on every person on the face of the earth. God also has a mark. And that's in Revelation chapter 14. And he tells us who is going to get that mark. Revelation 14 and verse 1. And I, that's John of course, looked, and lo, a lamb on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. So a public testimony that God put on them as they went around the world sharing the gospel, or at least among the nation of Israel, and many, many scores will turn to Christ because of it. So we're going to have a mark too, and it's going to be in our forehead, which is a very conspicuous place. If you're trying to hide something about you, if you have something on your forehead, that's a problem. Because everywhere you go, I mean, how often do you cover that part of your body up? Not very much. And so it's exceptionally visible. In this world today, there are a lot of closet Christians. They come to church, they may read their Bibles, but they don't want anyone to know that they're Christians. I saw an interview of someone, I'm not going to name the person, they're not, I don't think, a good person, but they supposedly got saved, but this was a woman, and she said she would rather let people admire the difference inside of her and see that from the external viewpoint instead of telling them the reason why that she's different, which is, of course, because she accepted Christ as her Savior. She wanted to be a closet Christian, but you know what? In heaven, we're not going to be closet Christians. God is going to write his name on our foreheads. And so it'll be conspicuous. It also tells us ownership. Marks or brands were something that's been done through centuries. In the biblical era, the Roman Empire anyways, slaves oftentimes would have marks placed upon them to show that they're slaves. If you're a slave, you'd want to run away. But if you have a mark on your forehead or somewhere very visible, how far are you going to get before you get in trouble? So slaves would have it. Mariners or men in the Navy would also do it. It would show what part or what branch they served with. And so they would have a mark. And of course, we know from the Wild Wild West that livestock would have a brand on them that would show to whom they belong. Well, the name in our foreheads will be visible because it shows who owns us, our God and our Savior. The song I started with, I am His and He is mine, and He wants everyone to know that He owns us. The Bible tells us we're redeemed. We are, as Paul wrote, the church of God. Oh, Paul didn't write it. Paul said it. Excuse me. Luke wrote it. We are the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's Acts 20, 28. And the Bible tells us we have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so God owns us, and he's going to put his name on us in heaven. And then we see whose name it is. You know, when people get tattoos, sometimes they put names. Sometimes they'll put a cross. Some people pick flowers. Some people put their children's names. And again, I'm not advocating doing that. I don't think it's a good idea. I can understand why they do it, at least. But people choose what they want on themselves. But when we get to heaven, God's going to pick, and he's going to put his name. And might I say, that is the greatest name that's ever been. We're going to display the name above every name everywhere we go. If you watch the Michigan football games, you see some of them have a block M on their arm somewhere. And that means something to them. They are proud of the fact that they play on that team. Now, might I say that we have nothing that should bring us more, not sinful, but pride, that we have our Savior, his name, written on us. Paul says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." So our Lord's name will be on us. He's our Creator. He's our Sustainer. He's the greatest Giver. He's the Lord. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, and so, so much more. You know, some people might want to put their name. They might want to put their kids' names. But you can't have any greater name on you than the name of Jesus Christ. This will be our state forever. This will be on us, and it will never go away. And so I believe it will be our joy, our, again, pride that's not sinful, that we have his name on us. So that is the encouragement part. Now we have the challenge, and that is a present mark. The Bible tells us our future, but what about here and now, the life that we are living today? And the question is, do you want to be known as Christ? You will in heaven. Do you want to be known as Jesus is today? There are a lot of incognito Christians. Sometimes we call them chameleon Christians. They want to blend in with their surroundings. And quite frankly, if we're like that, then we don't have a spine. The devil's holding our spine, and we're nothing more than a doormat for Christ. So we should want to be known as Christ. Paul wanted everyone to know whose he was. And as he went from city to city, from place to place, continent to continent, he said, "I bear in my body the marks," which is the Greek word stigma, where we get the word stigma from. "I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." For being a preacher of righteousness, he tells us in 2 Corinthians what he endured, how he was beaten many times. He bore in his body. He literally had marks that proved who he lived for. And so we have opportunities. We have opportunities to show that we are Christ. Pastor Paul has said it many times. When you get up on Sunday morning, you leave at the same time, you're dressed up well, what do your neighbors know? They know you're going to church. And also, not just that you go to church, but you do it week after week after week after week. You see, talk is cheap, but actions speak loud, and habits speak even louder. They know you go to church. They know you have a testimony for Christ. They know that you're his. Also, when we live differently than the world around us, the Bible says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." If there's one verse I'd like to take out of the Bible, it would be that one. Very short, but very powerful. But he goes on, he says, "Why? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Last Sunday afternoon, we had our candlelight service. You know, when we pulled the blinds and we turned off the lights, you couldn't read your Bible. You couldn't read from the songbook. But we did something about that, didn't we? We had a candle. When that candle was burning, you could read your Bible, and you could read the songbook as well. And so in this dark world in which we live, when we want people to know that we're Christ, we're holding that candle up, and people can see that. And so when we live differently, we can say, "Hey, I'm Christ." It's not written in our forehead, but they know that we're his. We also can show it when we have a heavenly focus. Familiar verses from Colossians 3. "If ye then be risen with Christ," in other words, if you're saved, "seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You see, the world has a lens that they look through, and it's clouded by sin. It's clouded by the sin nature that we all have. But when we as believers read our Bible and we know what God has to say on the matter, we're looking through a completely different lens. And when we see trials that happen in our life, it's not just something to oppress us and knock us down, but we see it's accomplishing God's master plan in our life, even though we may not understand it. And as Sunday school and the lesson was taught, it is the purification of the silver and the gold that we can have that glorifies God. We also see good fortune as blessings. And when people get a Christmas bonus, when they get a raise at work, yeah, I got something for myself. No, we thank the Lord that we got that. We look at it differently. And when we express that to the world, they see that we're different. And we have that heavenly focus. They see that about us. They know we're Christ. We also have gratitude. We don't take things for granted. Of course, that was spoken on this morning, those that are unthankful in the last days. When good things happen to us, we praise the Lord. We say, praise the Lord, or thank you, Lord. That makes a difference. It shows that we're His. We also live with purpose. We're not here just floating on the waves, just seeing what comes and goes in life. We live with a reason. We live to glorify our Savior. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I think God wants us to be putting treasure away in heaven, because then our heart will be there and we'll have a heavenly focus that tells the world, hey, I'm Christ. I am a Christian. I am a believer. And then also, when we preach the gospel and we pass out tracts, do you think the heathen and the pagans are out passing out gospel tracts?
No.
The sad thing is, I think a lot of Baptist churches that have the truth, they aren't really sharing it that well. But I'm glad that we have the focus on getting the gospel out, preaching the word of God by mouth and by paper, because the power is in the gospel of Christ. It's in the word of God. And so we want to pass that message out, and that tells the world that we're Christ. Because again, unsaved people aren't doing it. It's those that are saved. The Bible tells us of Andrew. It says, he first findeth his brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. And the next verse says, and he brought him to Jesus. What's your goal for next year? Do you hope to win someone to the Lord in 2024? We keep passing out tracts and we keep trying to see people saved. Eventually we'll find a seed that's been watered and is ready to be harvested, and we'll be able to have that privilege. But that shows the world that we're Christ. And then we show it by good works. There is no replacement for preaching the gospel. Some people say we live a good testimony and that will draw people to Christ. Well, we should have a good testimony, but God says we reach people by the foolishness of preaching, by the word of God. So we've got to be speaking it. But if we're preaching the gospel but we have a poor testimony, that doesn't work either. The Bible says we're to adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That means we have a good lifestyle, a life that honors God, that goes with the words that we have to say. Do you think the world sees hypocrite Christians today? They talk about it all the time. The world certainly blasts the news. But your life should stand in contradiction to what they see elsewhere about hypocrites. We should do our best to be blameless and harmless as sons of God, as the verse said previously. And so good works proves the sincerity of our beliefs. It allows people to see the greatest giver, God, in us, as we do good things. The ever familiar verse, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So our challenge is, well, let's get it from Jesus. Go to Mark chapter 8. We're just about done. I don't think we could have a stronger challenge to tell the world that we are Christ than what Jesus has to say himself. The last verse of Mark chapter 8. Verse 38. Jesus says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this, now notice this, not living in a comfortable society, but living in the world we live in this adulterous and sinful generation. So if we're ashamed of Christ and his words, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. That's a pretty strong challenge to want to let the world know that we're Christ's. And so, when we see Christ, we're going to see he has marks too. He has a mark in his hand, he has a mark in this hand, in his 2 feet, and then also in his side. We're going to see how much he loved us, and the marks that are on his body because of us and our sin. In 2024, do you want the world to know? Do you want to have marks that are not necessarily visible, but things that are seen by the way you live that says, I am a Christian? Do you want the world to know that you're Jesus's? Pastor Paul said it many times over the years, that if you were put on trial, if being a Christian was against the law, and you were put on trial for it, would there be enough evidence to convict you that you're a Christian? So we're going to bear Jesus' name throughout eternity. Will you bear it here below? That's your choice, and I hope that you will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for telling us what we're going to have in the future. We're going to have your very name imprinted on our forehead. Lord, we thank you that you loved us, that you died for us, and Lord, that we are yours for eternity. Lord, we pray that we will be challenged and motivated in this next year to live so that others know that we are yours here below. And we'll give you the praise and the thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.